you to open them up to the book of Esther. And I know it's not a very common book, but it is a common story. It's right after the book of Nehemiah, before Psalm, before you get into Job and Psalms. And so you could find it there in your Bible. And we're going to go to Esther chapter 4. And this morning, I want to speak about walking worthy of the calling. Walking worthy of the calling. And I want to speak about it in a little bit of a different sense of how you might think. But also, if you want to title the message, you could title it Being Carriers of the Promise. Tell your neighbor, being carriers of the promise. And tell your other neighbor, our time is now. Well, say it like you mean it. Say, our time is now. Because how many know that my God, He don't lose. I got news flash for you this morning. My God, somebody say, my God, don't lose. Say it again. Say, my God, don't lose. See, my God, He don't change. Never, for nobody. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't stop being victorious. He doesn't stop being a winning God. He doesn't know how to lose. Come on, somebody. He is only a winning God. Amen. Because He is completely sovereign within our lives. And He's a good God. Because we would not be able to handle that. See? You wouldn't be able to handle if you just won all the time. That's why God lets you lose sometimes. But God's different. He's good. He's holy. So He can handle it. He can handle the glory. Come on, somebody. And so this morning, you know, I'm excited to be able to minister this morning on being carriers of the promise. Esther chapter 4, beginning in verse 9. If you have it, say amen. We're going to read down to verse 16. And the Bible reads like this. It says, so Hathach returned and told Esther the words of Mordecai. Then Esther spoke to Hathach and gave him a command for Mordecai. And this is what Esther sent for Mordecai. She said, all the king's servants and the people of the king's provinces know that any man or woman who goes into the inner court to the king who has not been called, he has but one law, put all to death, except the one to whom the king holds out the golden scepter that he may live. And she says, yet I myself have not been called to go into the king these 30 days. I want to stop there for a moment, and I want you to notice that Esther has a calling on her life. So somebody say amen. She has a calling on her life, and this is the place when the calling in her life, when the call that is upon her life meets fear head on. Come on, somebody. Anybody called this morning? This is when the call on her life meets head on with impossibilities or doubt. Anybody called by God this morning? This is the place where she was going to lose. It meant death to the security of her life. I know your life, you know how to have your life to where there's like, it's secure, right? You got that safe zone, the security of your routine, of your daily, day in and day out. And how many know you don't like when things come and invade or threaten that security of your peaceful life? Come on, somebody. And this is where she's at. This is where it's going to mean that she's going to lose her comfort zone. Come on, somebody. She's going to lose that life that she's in control of. Come on, somebody. And so it goes on and it says this. Let's read on. It says, so they told Mordecai Esther's words. And look at what Mordecai told them to answer Esther. And he told her this. He said, do not think in your heart that you will escape in the king's palace any more than all the other Jews. In other words, don't think that by running from your calling that you're going to escape. Don't think that by running from your calling that you're going to escape things. Matter of fact, she's like, you're just going to make things worse. Some of y'all need to hear that this morning. Somebody needs to hear that this morning. He tells them this. Listen to what Mordecai says for Esther. He says, for if you remain completely silent at this time, in other words, if you don't step up and answer this call, relief and deliverance will arise from the Jews from another place. but you and your father's house will perish. And he says, yet who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Yet who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time? In other words, he was saying, Esther, how do you not know that this is your time and your day and your hour to answer the calling of God that is upon your life? Then Esther told them to reply to Mordecai, go gather all the Jews who were her present in Shushan and fast for me. Tell your neighbor he's talking to you this morning. And fast for me, neither eat nor drink for 3 days, night or day. My maids and I will fast likewise. And so I will go to the king, which is against the law. And if I perish, I perish. Whew. She's bad. Come on, somebody. She said, and if I perish, I wish I had some Esthers up in this. I wish I had some men Esthers in this place. I wish I had some women Esthers in this place. I wish I had some young Esthers in this place. I wish I had some middle-aged Esthers in this place. You ain't hearing me this morning. So she said, I will go to the king, which is against the law, and if I die, I die. Tell your neighbor, I want you to say it with me. Repeat after me. Say, I'm going all out. Say it again. Say, I'm going all out. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, God, this morning, we thank you for your word. Bless the preaching of your word this morning and speak to your people, Father. Let us walk worthy of the calling. Lord, let us walk worthy of the calling that is upon our lives. We thank you for the privilege. And we ask it in Jesus' name. And everybody says amen and amen. You may be seated this morning. As you're seated, tell your neighbor, I'm going all out. And tell your other neighbor, you got to walk worthy of the calling. I want to talk about being carriers of the promise. Esther was called by God. Some of you are sitting here in this place and God is already ministering to you. He's already prodding your heart. He's already nudging at you in the spirit because you were called by God. You know that God has given you a calling. You know that he has given you a mission. You know that there is a purpose for your life and you're in this place and it is your time. And so you have been sensing a stirring, an anointing inside of you. The spirit bears witness. Because you know, man, you know as you've been going through what you've been going through in your life, but as you've been looking to God and asking God and seeking God, you know that God has been pointing you in the direction of the calling of God that is upon your life. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1, the Bible says this, the Apostle Paul said, therefore I, a prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling. For you have been called by God. Woo, come on, somebody. He said, I beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling. Tell your neighbor, he's talking to you this morning. He says, for you have been called by God. Psalm 90 says this. It says, teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Victory Outreach Pomona Church, I want you to know this morning, I want to speak to you this morning, and I want you to understand that this chapter of your life, this chapter that you have just stepped into in this month that just passed, and right now where we're at, this chapter, your results can be greater. My question for you this morning is, do you actually believe that? Come on, somebody. Do you actually believe that? This chapter, your results can be greater. If you redeem the time. If you redeem the time, I want to talk about that for a moment before we get back into Esther, okay? Because you got to understand this, that time is the great equalizer. Come on, somebody. Time is the great equalizer. What do you mean by that? Well, I mean this. We all get the same amount of time in a day. No favoritism. You know, ain't no favoritism. I mean this. I know that we all live different spans of life, but at the end of the year, if you've lived out that whole year, every one of us will have gotten, each of us will have gotten, all of us the same 365 days 8,760 hours will have been given to you. 525,600 minutes will have been given to you. 31,536 seconds will have been given to every person in this place if you live out that entire year. No respecter of persons, no favoritism. Everybody gets the same thing. Now, Paul wrote these words to the church in Ephesus. He said, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise. Come on, somebody say, I want to be wise. He said, not as unwise, but as wise, redeeming the time. Let me say that one more time. Redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Can you imagine? The Apostle Paul said that during this time to that church in Ephesus. When they were going through things, he told them, man, be wise. Don't be unwise. He says, redeem the time because the days are evil. Evil, therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. The word redeem in this portion of Scripture in Ephesians chapter 5 comes from the Greek word redeem, which is zagorazo, which means to rescue from loss. Which the NIV translates it like this. It means make the most of every opportunity. Come on, somebody. I'm talking to somebody this morning. I want you to engage with me today. I want you to be alive today because, you know, you're called by God. Come on, somebody. You're called by God. So I want you to, you know, if you want what God has for you this morning, I want you to stay with me. Come on, keep in step here. I'm not going to move ahead, but I'm going to stay right with you this morning. And it means to make the most of every opportunity. Now, there's two words for time. And one, and when you look at it biblically, and one is chronos and one is kairos. The first word is chronos and the second word is kairos. And chronos is where we get our word chronology. In other words, it's like calendar time. It's like the time that's up there on that clock. It's like the time that we live by every single day. That's what chronos talks about. It's clock time. Chronos is sequential. It's like past, present, and future, right? And it's linear. It moves in one direction. That's what chronos is. In other words, it's how we humans, tell your neighbor you're a human this morning. Come on, somebody. It's how we humans measure time. But listen, this is what I want you to understand. Our God does not exist within the space and with the time, within the time and the dimensions that he created. Come on, somebody. That's why the Bible says this: 1,000 years in your sight, God, are like a day that has just gone by. You didn't hear me this morning. Or like a watch in the night. In other words, God's not limited. So we need to be very careful to not put God in a box on our clock. You ain't hearing me this morning, because some of y'all be getting frustrated because God is not moving according to your clock and your time, and you're thinking this should have happened and that should have happened. But I want you to know that when you're in your mind thinking that this should have happened and that should have happened, and why didn't this happen and why haven't another, that you are putting God in a box when you do that. You see, because it takes you a certain amount of time to accomplish things. That's why in your mind you think, you know, this has to happen, and that has to, but you forget, and we forget that for God it doesn't take that long to do things. In other words, God can do things in a moment. God can do things that it was done yesterday. Come on, somebody. God moves, you know, you can't put God in a box. Somebody say amen. And the second word for time is kairos, and that kairos refers to this. It refers, and this is what God has been doing in this church, Victor Outreach Mona. This is the season that you are sitting in the midst of right now. This is why you have been hearing God do what he's doing, say what he's saying. This is why you have been sensing what you have been sensing in this place, in your life, and in your prayer closet. This is why even, yes, sometimes all hell has broken loose within your life against you. Come on, somebody. This is why some of you have even been facing opposition or discouragement or depression. You ain't hearing me this morning. I can't get nobody to be honest in this place. This is why, is because kairos refers to a window of opportunity. It is where you are at right now. And that window of opportunity, it is a window. It closes after a certain amount of time. Come on, somebody. Kairos refers to, it is referring to a critical and defining moment, to an appointed time. Now is that time. Somebody say amen. It is a critical and defining moment. You are sitting in the midst right now, and the reason why what's been taking place in your life, and the reason why God has been doing what he's been doing in this place, it is because it is a critical and it is a defining moment within our lives. That's why God has been giving you an opportunity and challenging you to see what you are going to do at this critical and defining moment within your life. My question to you this morning is, what are you going to do about it? Now is the time. Kairos is what Esther, that, you know, Kairos, that what I'm talking about, that appointed time, that defining moment, that window of opportunity, that's what Esther's all about. That's what what we just read in the book of Esther, that's what that is. That is a Kairos moment. You think of a window of opportunity, man. You think, oh, man. You think of all the, see, you think of like, sometimes you think of the blessing, right? A window of opportunity when the blessing or you know, like, hey, you won the lottery. That was your Kairos moment. Praise the Lord type of thing, right? But no. You got to understand, this Kairos moment in her life was one of the most difficult moments. It was one of the most difficult, not only for her, but all of her people. She was a Jew, and for all the Jewish people, there was about to be some genocide. They were all facing death. But yet it was a window of opportunity in that tragic, critical moment. In that moment when things got hard and things got tough, and it felt like they wanted to give up and throw in the towel. You ain't hearing me this morning. Was her Kairos moment. Somebody needs to get that. Because you are in your Kairos moment, and you have been getting ready to throw in the towel, and you had better not. Because your Kairos moment ain't going to look like a nice little box wrapped in a nice pretty ribbon. Let me preach to this side over here. Your Kairos moment ain't going to look real nice and pretty. Your Kairos moment is going to look like, and yes, it is even going to feel like all hell has broken loose and nothing is going right inside of your life, but yet it is a defining and critical moment in your life. Depending on what you do with it, is going to determine the result of what takes place. I wonder if anybody in this place wants to see God do something great inside of your life, and you are not about to throw it all away in your difficult moment. I wonder if there's anybody in this place, man, that is not about to throw away the calling of God that is upon your life just because you're facing a difficult moment within your life. Come on, somebody. It is a moment. Is it an appointed? It is an appointed time. He said, for you have remained silent. Mordecai told her, if you, this is what God is saying to you this morning. Victor Outreach, Pomona Church, hear what God is saying to you. Saying, for if you remain silent at this time, liberation and rescue will arise from the Jews from another place, and you and your father's house will perish, since you did not help when you had the chance. I can't get that's good preaching right there, but it's not going to get me a lot of amens. Woo! Let it land where it may, baby. It says, you and your father's house will perish since you did not help when you had the chance. It's a Kairos moment. It's a moment of opportunity. I wanted to marinate with you for a little bit this morning. Because you have the chance right now. God has been speaking loud and clear. He is giving you the chance. Even if you had a chance before, two chances before, five chances before, in this moment, in this time, in this Kairos, God is giving you another chance. Woo! And then he goes on and he says this, and who knows whether you have attained royalty. Some of y'all need to know your royalty. But not only know your royalty, you need to act like your royalty. And no offense to anybody that has red hair or is a stepchild. But you're royalty, but sometimes you're acting like a redheaded stepchild. I don't know if that's politically correct. I'll repent later if it is. I don't know. It's the best way I could put it. In other words, you're acting like you've been kicked to the curb sometimes, and you allow the devil to get you in a pickle sometimes, and you allow the devil to get you in a headlock sometimes, and begin to lie to you sometimes, and make you doubt that you're royalty, but you need to step up and understand that you have a calling upon your life, and that God has anointed you with the power to do what he's called you to do, and you're royalty, and you got to get up, and you got to do it now. So forgive me. If you have a red hair or come from a blended family. I don't even know anymore, man. I don't even know. Before that wasn't a bad thing to say. It probably is now, man. I don't know. Forgive me, man. I'm outdated. I don't watch too much TV, only sports. I don't watch ESPN. And he says this, who knows whether you have attained royalty? Listen. He says, you'll perish, man. Because you didn't help when you had the chance. But he says this, he says, but who knows whether you have attained royalty for such a time as this and for this very purpose. Who knows if God has given you another chance in this place? Because the calling and the purpose of God upon your life is irrevocable, and it is still upon your life. Somebody needs to rise up and answer the calling of God in this place that he has placed upon your life. Regardless of how hard it's been, regardless of how much the devil has lied to you and you have believed it, listen, you need to shake it off. You need to get up and you need to rise up. You need to take your place. Remember your royalty and be that man and woman of God that he has called you to be. We are royalty in this place, man. We are not struggling. We are not begging. The Bible says, man, lions may hunger, he said, but I have not seen the children of God begging for bread. God is a good God. We are on the winning team. We have a winning attitude. You got to understand this morning, man. That's why we do what we do in Victor Outreach Pomona. That's why we give, even when it takes a step of faith, because we know that we serve a faithful God that has given us the victory already. I step out and give. I step out and do what I do, not because it's already there and I have a bank account full, but because I know that as I step out, my God is going to show up. I can't get nobody to say amen this morning, but I know when I step out, my God is going to show up and my God is going to provide over, above, and beyond more than I can ask or imagine. Somebody in this place needs to remember that. Somebody in this place has forgotten that you're blessed by God, and you let your circumstances dictate how you serve God. You let your bank account tell you how you're going to bless God. I can't get nobody to say amen this morning. You let your struggles dictate to you whether you're going to serve God with joy. I can't get nobody to say amen this morning. I feel like I'm hitting a chord somewhere. Come on, somebody. But the reality of the matter is, whether you're facing opposition, whether you're going through a hard time, whether you ain't got no money in the bank account, you can serve God and do great things for God, because God is going to show up and provide for your life. Somebody give the Lord a good hand clap if you believe that in this place. Kairos. Somebody say Kairos. It's a moment of opportunity. Chronos is quantitative, counts minutes. Kairos is qualitative, and it captures the moment. Some of you need to capture the moment. You need to capture the moment in your life right now. You ever, what do they say, catching lightning in a bottle? Right? Right, that's like impossible, right? But you know, with God, that's not impossible. You know that right now you have the opportunity to catch lightning in a bottle? I can't, nobody knows. No, nobody knows God's sovereign in this place. Y'all just look at your impossibilities and you know that that's why it can't happen. That's the problem. You got to look at your impossibilities that say it can't happen and say, yeah, but with God, it will happen. Come on, somebody. It's carpe diem. You ever heard that? Carpe diem. It's seize the day. Somebody say, seize the day. It's seize the day. It's carpe diem. It's seize the day, my brother. It's seize the day, my sister. It's walking worthy of the calling, man of God. It's walking worthy of the calling, family of God. It is being carriers of the promise of God. That's what Esther was. She was a carrier of the promise of God. And I want you to know that this church is full of Esthers in this place that are carriers of the promises of God. I just wish they would wake up and remember that their name is Esther so that they could go tell the king to let my people go. It's redeeming the time. I think that what is even more important than managing our time is redeeming the time. Capturing the moment. Carpeing the diem. Come on, somebody. Rescuing from loss the precious grains of sand that God has gifted to us. Come on, somebody. That word for time in Ephesians is kairos. Time may be measured in chronos, but life is measured in kairos. I'm trying to, it's a little bit of meat in the sense that you got to just bite down a little bit more to kind of just grab a hold of it. But you got to understand what I'm saying. Just take a bite at it. Because this is your life. And this moment is very defining in your life. That's what I'm saying. I'm saying all that to say this. This moment. What you're doing before the Lord, I'm not talking about what we waste our time on out there that is pointless and that has nothing to do for the kingdom. I'm not talking about that stuff. I'm talking about what we do for the kingdom. I'm talking about what we do for God. I'm talking about the reason why God saved you out of the place where you were at. That's what I'm talking about. I'm saying this is your moment of your life. Come on, somebody give the Lord a good hand clap this morning. I think it's like this. I think it's like living as if each day was the first and last day of your life. Huh? It's both seeing and seizing the God-ordained opportunities that are laid out before us. How many know that God has been letting us see it very clear? The God-ordained opportunities that have been laid out before us, Victor Outreach, Pomona Church. The opportunity I see with my own eyes, my wife sees, we see together the opportunities that have been laid out before this church. We see it clear as day before our very eyes. There is an opportunity that the God of Jacob, the God of Isaac, the God of Israel has given this church, Victor Outreach Pomona. There is an opportunity that he has laid out before us. Who's going to redeem the time? Who's going to let it slip? The great thing is, and I'll get into it in a moment, but he told her, Esther, if you do not, he says, it's okay. You're going to die, and your family's going to die, but God's going to raise somebody else up. I can't get nobody this morning. That's why I said yes to God when he called me. That's when they said, do you want to be a regional pastor? I didn't say no. I said yes because I knew that that was the calling of God that he placed upon this church and upon my life. And if I said no to God, he would have found somebody else that would have said yes. So you might as well just say yes because it's going to happen, baby. And God is going to bring it to pass with or without you. The question is, how bad do you want to be a part of it? And how bad do you want to see it come to pass? That's what it's talking about. That's what the Bible is talking about. I'm not talking about wishful thinking. I'm not talking about positive thinking. I'm talking about the Word, the inspired Word of God that is telling us how God operates in the presence of our lives. Being present fully in the right now. What does that mean? Like, you know, you could say like living in the moment, right? And things like that, right? Like all these things that are said. Right? No, nobody here like looking down like, yeah. Nobody ever is living the moment. girl like, what does that mean? Live in the moment. Oh, somebody. Y'all were living in the moment yesterday. Live in the moment. Selfie. But you know what it means? You know what that really means? Ask me. What does it mean? No, it means this. It means, you know what it means? It means put your heart into it. It means put your whole heart into it. That's what live in the day, live in the moment means. It means put your whole heart into what you're doing for God. Don't do it halfway. Don't give a percentage of your effort. Give God your everything. Give God your all. Give Him your whole heart and everything that you do with your hand for the Lord. Do it with all of your might. Come on, somebody give the Lord a hand clap this morning. If you want to live in the day, it's discerning, man. It's discerning the promptings of the Holy Spirit. Come on, somebody. It's recognizing those holy moments. You ever had some of those? Those teachable moments. Those defining moments. When they're laid before us. Not living in the flesh. Limited by our feeble emotions. Sometimes we're limited by our emotions and we let our emotions wreck holy moments, teachable moments. We let our flesh and our emotions wreck teachable moments because we're too much in the flesh. We're too much in the emotions. Come on, somebody. But if you were in the Spirit, you would catch what God is trying to show you and you would grow to another level and serve God in a greater capacity. Recognize those moments. Here's the deal. If you and I strive to redeem the time, our results can be greater. Come on, somebody. So Esther is an orphan. Just a little backstory here. I'm not going to be too much longer. I'm going to close here in a little bit. But she's an orphan who was raised by her uncle, Mordecai. Right? And in the course of time, God does His God thing, and He positions her to become the queen of Persia, which really shouldn't happen because she's a Jew. And God does His thing, though. None of you, man, God didn't do His thing with none of you. Some of you are sitting here right now. You have the opportunity, yeah, because God did His thing in your life. Come on, somebody give God glory. I'm here right now because God did His thing when it came to my drug-addicted and lost, miserable wife. But God did His thing in me, baby. And I'm here today serving God because God's unlimited. So here we go. You know, the problem is that her husband, King Xerxes, had no idea that she was Jewish, right? So now there's a bad guy in the story. Somebody say there's always a bad guy. I know. Some of you are thinking right now. Say goodnight to the bad guy. I know. There's a bad guy in this story. And his name is Haman. And he was a high official within the Persian Empire. And he hated and he despised Jewish people. Just like the devil hates you. Let me say that to you right now. Let me share. Right? The devil hates you. He hates your guts. He hates your family, he hates your marriage, and he hates your children. That's why he's doing what he's trying to do, because he wants to destroy you. Come on, somebody. So this is, Haman is that kind of a dude, right? Spent racist, all that stuff. Come on, somebody. And he hated his spite, especially he hated Mordecai. Because he felt disrespected by Mordecai. Because Mordecai refused to kneel to him. Because Mordecai would only kneel to God. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. Is there anybody in this place? He wouldn't give him honor, man. He wouldn't give him honor. He wanted honor. He was hurt by it. He was upset at it. But Mordecai was the type of guy he was only going to bow and honor God. So Haman, he manipulates the king to issue a decree to have all the Jewish people in the empire executed. Speed up to where we're at, right? When Mordecai hears of the decree, he goes to Esther and tells her that she needs to go to the king and do something about this. So now Uncle Mordecai is telling her, hey, you're in there. Go do something about this.
And we get to the scriptures where we're at, where she says, hey, man, he hasn't called me. I'm going to die if I go in there. So she's hesitant because she knows that even though she's the queen, for her to get to the king without being summoned, it means she could be executed, right? Like, that's it. So Mordecai says to her, what we read, if you keep silent at this time, liberation and deliverance will come to the Jews from another place. I want somebody. But you and your father's house will be destroyed. But who knows, perhaps you're in this position for such a time as this. You know why this is significant? Let me tell you why. Because even though it's a certain type of a situation, some of you have been in a similar predicament in your life. Oh, yeah. I don't read your mail. I don't have a camera at your house that sees what's going on. But I have the Holy Spirit. Some of y'all have been in a moment where it's going to cost something that you're not sure if you're willing to pay. Is that good? I know that's good Victory Outreach preaching. Come on, somebody. Somebody give the Lord a hand clap. Come on. So, in other words, understand this. It seems like the worst of situations for the people of God. However, Mordecai, God bless Mordecai. Somebody say, God bless Mordecai. Mordecai has a different perspective. He believes that God has been setting things up and has Esther perfectly positioned to do something about what needs to be done. How many thank God for people who think like Mordecai? Come on, somebody. That when it seems like things are going wrong, and it seems like things aren't working out, and it seems like things are breaking down, somehow, some way, because they know the God they serve, they find out, they realize, they see through their eyes that somehow it doesn't matter. God is still in control. He's still working it out. He's still ready to move. Man, I thank God for people like that, who know who God is. Woo! I could come with a bad report with the best of them, but because I know the God that I serve, I choose to say yes. It may look impossible. It may seem like it ain't gonna happen, but because the God that I serve is in the middle of the equation, that means it's a foolproof plan, baby, and God is still gonna work it out inside of your life. You got to get up, cheer up, step out, and let God do what he's going to do. Mordecai is basically saying three things to Esther. He's saying this: Esther, don't think you'll escape the Holocaust when it happens. Esther, you will be wiped out just like everyone else when it becomes clear that you are one of God's chosen people. We think we're going to run. We think we're going to decline, right? God challenges you. God challenges you, right? Oh, here's the book of excuses, right? The book of excuses comes out. You think about it quick, too. It's like you got that bad boy downloaded into your brain. Page 999 of the book of excuses. Boop, there it is. That's the excuse I'm going to use. And so we think that because we make excuses, somehow, you know, we're going to escape unscathed, untouched, right? Everything's going to just be peaceful because you found the good excuse out of the book of excuses. But do you know what you forgot, that Esther forgot, that Mordecai reminded her of? You know what you forgot? Ask me what. That you have this big old, huge, identifiable, unmistakable mark, birthmark upon your life. You
are marked by God. And it doesn't matter if you try to run, if you try to hide, if you try to make excuses, you're never going to blend in because you're marked by God. He marked you. He touched you. You're not the same. And you might think you're going to blend, baby, but you ain't going to blend. They're going to know you don't belong because you belong in the house of God. You belong serving God. You belong answering the call of God. You don't belong out there lost, wandering, going in circles. You belong doing what God called you to do. Come on, somebody give the Lord a good hand clap in this place. You're marked by God. You are marked. You have this huge, man, you ever seen people, right? You have a birthmark. Birthmarks, we all got them. Different places, right? My babies, you know, when babies, you know where their birthmarks are. Well, there are little places where like Rob got a little birthmark on his booty or something, you know? I don't know, where is he? He doesn't have it there, but you know what I mean? But ain't nobody gonna know, right? Nobody's gonna see, right? Well, now you all know. But he does it anyway. I made that up. He has one on the bottom of his toe. But I'm saying, you know, he can try to hide it, right? But who is he not gonna hide it from? He's not gonna hide it from Dad, right? Because Dad knows, Mom knows actually. He's marked by God. You're marked by God. You're marked by God. You belong to God. You belong to God. There's only one thing that God has made you for, and that is to serve Him, and that is to worship Him, and that is to glorify Him. So take your place and let God get the glory through your life. Stop looking in the big book of excuses that's in your brain. Second thing that that he's saying to Esther is this: Esther, if you refuse to step up, God will send somebody else. Ooh, come on, somebody. Man, I love Mordecai's understanding of God's sovereignty, right? He knows that God will accomplish all he intends, regardless of Esther's involvement. In other words, you're important, but you're not that powerful. Let's say it like that. You're very, 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 very important, but you're not that powerful that you could stop God. So Esther's important. Somebody say Esther's important, but she was not indispensable. Come on, somebody. You didn't hear me. Bottom line is this, is that if Esther refused to seize this moment, she would miss out on an opportunity to be used by God. She would miss out on an opportunity to save her people and bring God the glory and be used by God. Somebody say amen. But she might miss out on that opportunity, but she cannot tie the hands of God. She ain't got a rope big enough. Somebody say amen. In other words, His will be done. Come on, somebody. His purpose will advance with or without her. Somebody say amen. God has just given her an opportunity to be a part of it and to be able to enjoy, come on, somebody, being a part of the great things that God wants to do in this day, in this hour, and within her life. Come on, somebody. See, God is bigger than that. You and I will never stop the plans that our God has. God is bigger than that. But we can, and we often do, forfeit the awesome opportunity to be a part of it. That's real. That is so real. A lot of times we forfeit. People forfeit. Us as people, we forfeit the awesome opportunity that God has given us to be a part of. Thank God that Esther how many people wish they
I think about it, you know, sometimes. How many people are sitting somewhere today and they wish they wouldn't have quit? Think about that. How many people are sitting here today somewhere right now wishing they wouldn't have forfeited? Trying to drown out the truth in reality. Trying to drown it out with life. Trying to drown it out with activities. Trying to drown it out with this. Trying to drown it out with that. But at the end of the day, still sitting there. Wishing they wouldn't have fallen. What am I saying this morning? God wants us to be involved. That we're not indispensable to his plan. And the third and last thing that Mordecai was saying to Esther in his statement was this: Esther, God has put you exactly where he wants you to be. Esther, this is your purpose in life. This is the life God created you to live. He was saying this: my brother, my sister, you may not understand how you got where you are or why you are even there. Maybe you don't even like where you are sometimes. But I don't think, you know, when I think about it, I didn't think this is how my life was going to work out many times. I didn't think this was going to happen, that was going to happen. But the bottom line, I want you to know, Esther, I want you to know, my brother, my sister in this place, you who are marked by God, that you are where you are at this very moment so that God can accomplish his will and his purpose and his destiny through your life. Come on, somebody, give the Lord a good hand clap in this place. I want you to stand with me this morning. One of the hardest things to trust about God is timing. His timing. Right? No, it's just me. I'm just going to have an altar call for myself right now. I'm just going to come to the altars. Can you pray for me? The hardest thing for us, a lot of the times, to trust about God is his timing. Because things happen in time. And between point A and point B, things happen. And the devil is sometimes in those things. Between point A and Z and A and C and A in this place and that place, there's things that take place and things that happen, and it's your timeline. And when God moves, I want you to understand this morning. When God moves, it's rarely on your timeline. See how it works though? See? But God's faithful because we're limited. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. I thank God that he doesn't move on my timeline. Because it would make me happy, but it would not make me successful. Because how do you know when you give your kids something that they're not ready for, how many knows it does not do them any good? It does them bad. Well, we're God's kids. And if God just gave you what you wanted when you wanted it, you would be a wreck. Let me give you a newsflash. Get off of your high horse of whatever you think of your wisdom and understand that if things happen when you thought they should happen, your life would probably get wrecked. It would probably get messed up because you're not wise as God is. That's why he's God and we're not. That's why we're worshiped. But that's why he frees us as his kids. That's why he frees us of that burden that you don't have to sit there and worry about. As long as you have that element of trust in the Lord, then it doesn't matter if you don't have a clue of how it's going to work out. You just know that God puts you on a mission and you're going to trust God. And you're going to leave the working out to him. Well, somebody give the Lord a hand clap this morning if you know he's faithful like that. You're going to leave the working out of all the details and all the miracles and all the impossibilities and all those things. You're just going to leave it to God. Somebody say amen. So it makes this hard. It makes it hard, man. It's hard, but it's so critical. That's the thing. It's hard with the timing, but it's so critical that you understand to trust God and not get frustrated in the timing. It is.
you know, it makes it hard because this world we live in is an instant world, right? Right? We want things instantly, am I right? You want things like right now. You want things like, you want me to be done like 10 minutes ago. Come on, somebody. That's all right. That's the world we live in, right? Listen, a Russian comedian was asked about what his favorite thing about America was, and he said grocery stores. He said, I never forget walking down one of the aisles and I saw powdered milk. Just add water and you get milk. And then he said, I saw powdered orange juice. Just add water and you get orange juice. And then he walked down another aisle and saw baby powder. And he thought, wow, what a country. You'll get that. You'll get that. You'll get that about 12 o'clock midnight. Understand, man. We want, listen, you know why I'm saying that? You know why? We want powdered dreams. We want powdered marriages. You want powdered promotions. Powdered callings. You know people want, babe, you know people want powdered callings? They want a calling, but they want it just like a powdered, you know, just put some water in it and boom, there it is. You know that callings don't happen like that? You know, you got to be crushed. You got to be beaten, smashed, built back up, molded. And then right when you think you're getting the hang of it, pow, smash it down again. We want powdered promotions. We want powdered blessings. You want powdered promises. Just add a little water. I mean, no, don't work like that. But it works more like what Paul describes when he said this. He said, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. Tell your neighbor, you got to sow before you reap. Tell your neighbor, you got to sow before you reap. It says, do not become weary in doing good. For at the proper time, that word for time there is kairos. At the right moment, not in your timeline, not in your estimate of when it should happen, but in that right kairos moment, you're going to reap a harvest if you don't give up. Esther had to walk worthy of the calling. She carried the purpose of God into that opportunity and into that moment when fear was trying to stop her. Come on, somebody. When obstacles and doubt and opposition was trying to stop her, stood in front of her. But she walked worthy of the calling. She walked worthy of the calling into her kairos moment with the attitude and the spirit of, I'm going to put my whole heart into it. And if it means I perish, then I perish. But I'm not going to sit back and pass on my chance to make a difference for God and to see and experience God use me and God use this church to accomplish his plans that he has for this city and for this world. We're going to launch out churches from this place. Some of you are going to go to different cities. You're going to go to different countries. You ain't hearing me this morning. Some of you are going to be pastors. Pastors' wives, you're going to be on a team. You're going to go somewhere. Some of you are going to rise up in this place, be pillars in this church, and build ministries in this place that have never been seen built before. When we go to 500 people and we're in double services, some of you are going to be the leaders of leaders in this place because God is separating you right now. He has been touching you right now. He has been stirring something up in you right now. It's not in your time. It's not in your timeline. But it's in that kairos moment. And I want you to know that what you do right now, it's critical. Don't get it, like they say, don't get it twisted, man. It's critical what you do right now. You have an opportunity. God is going to do what he's going to do. Neither you or I are powerful enough to stop it. But do you want to be used by God? Do you want to say yes and seize the moment? Do you want to carpe the diem?
Do you want to seize a moment of what God has for your life right now? Because if you do, I got good news for you. It doesn't take all the giftings. Doesn't take all the qualifications. You ain't got to have a big bad resume that says you're the spiritual giant of the valley. You don't got to have none of that. All you got to have is a little bit of faith and a willingness to give it your whole heart and say, if I perish, I perish. But I'm stepping out and I'm trusting God. And I know that my God is going to come through. Come on, somebody give the Lord a good hand clap in this place. So I don't know how God spoke to you this morning. But some of you this morning, you're called. And some of the specific things that I talked about today, you know it's the Lord speaking to you. So I want to open up these altars and I want you to respond. I want you to come down to these altars and I want you to come and I want you to talk to God. Because in this place is where you're going to settle these things with the Lord.